love to hear. I love to sing It's Worth Them. We'll sing the chorus version. It's 156. We'll sing the version of the chorus. It's I Love the Saviour's Name. Oh, how I love the Saviour's Name. We'll stand our feet before and then before some of
thanks tonight, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can sing these precious hymns, Lord. And tonight we indeed truly love your holy name. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we've heard today about your precious blood. Lord, we would be lost and undone without you. But Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that your precious blood has cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And Lord, we thank you tonight that your blood is still available and still all powerful and all able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even think or ask. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can gather here, Lord, to uplift your holy name. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help me, Lord, to step aside. Lord, I pray that you'll illuminate each and every word of your word tonight, that your word will be illuminated onto the people, Lord, and on each and every heart, Lord, that something will be said tonight that will encourage and uplift and strengthen someone in the name of Jesus. Lord, for all those laid aside sick or whatever it may be, or some lie of the enemy, or some whatever the circumstance is, you know, Lord, every circumstance. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you will move in each and every situation, Lord. Whatever thought may be laid heavy upon someone's heart tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll move in that situation in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that your name will get all the glory and all the honor tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Tonight I want to try and talk about transforming power. I want to try and talk a little bit about transforming power, because we know in this day and age we need the power of God. We'll need it in every age. You know, we say this age is this and that, but if you look back in the Bible, you know, true believers have always, it's never always easy, is it? It's never always easy, but you know, when you consider what Jesus done for you, what you have to face isn't that bad, is it, really? Do you know what I mean? But, you know, if we turn our Bibles here tonight to Romans chapter 12, and I just want to read verses 2, and then I have a lot of different scriptures and stuff wrote down here, just to talk about the power of God. But, you know, I love this portion of scripture here, Romans chapter 12, verses 2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You may take your seats tonight. You know, I love that wee bit, "be not conformed to this world." We know today that with that, what the church is trying to do in a lot of situations is they want to try and conform to the world. And they want to try and make, you know, you always hear people saying, "We need to change this and we need to change that," because that might encourage people to come in. But you know, you can't change the word of God to make it suit somebody's agenda. When we start to change the word of God, we're being conformed to the world. But the word of God says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." And when the power of God comes upon a man's life or a woman's life or whatever it may be, you know, the transforming power of God moves in that life. You know, I was talking to a couple of people the other day, and they were just talking about where people were brought up, how it can affect, maybe it can affect how you turn out. You know, if you get caught up in the wrong company and if you get caught in the wrong group of people, that can distort your thoughts on things and distort your view of the world and distort your view of people. And you know, when I was just saying to these people, I says, I know, but I said, you know, if somebody believes, I says, like, just take for example our family. I said, you know, our Tommy, I says, run with a bad crowd. I said, you know, it was even that bad, you know. My dad told me one time that he actually planned. He actually said, you know, that he was thinking at one time that he would go and he would do jail. He would go and shoot the boys that Tommy was running about with, rather than Tommy end up in some situation. He actually said that he had contemplated following and seeing where these boys lived and shooting them. Because he says that if it carried on the way it was going to be, he knew something was going to happen to him. But you know, thankfully he didn't try to do something of himself, because God had a plan. And God took him a certain road to shape him into the certain person, because Tommy now can I was just talking about Tommy to these people, and I had said to them about different situations, and I said, you know, when God moved on him, it wasn't a bluff. I says, you know, my dad told me that he'd come home and he said he'd get saved, but at that time he was facing jail. And my dad had said, you know, there's a lot of people maybe would say something if they knew there was a situation in hand, maybe it might make the thing look better for them. But it wasn't a bluff, it was genuine. And when God does a genuine work, it has an knock-on effect. And then because of that, then they knew Rock as well, these people, and I'd said to them, you know, because of what God done with Tommy, then that had an effect on Rock. And then I says that actually had an effect on the whole family. And we know then that my dad then even went out one time to pray about the situation and what was happening, and God gave him that wee verse. I had the wee verse printed on the side of my bike. Be still and know that I am God. You know, and there was a man looked at it one day and he had said to me about that verse, and he talked about how that God had saved him. The transforming power of God had got him. Because he said, you know, he knew a lot of fellas and they were in the UDR, and some of them was in the army and things, and he said there was a friend of his that got blown up. And he said he thought about it afterwards. He says, imagine something like that happened to me and I wasn't saved. Where would it be? Like Mark says, that thought come to him. Where would you be if you died tonight? Would you be in your sins or would you be saved? And he gets saved because of that. But you know, when God does the work, he does it well. But as I say, we know that the whole emphasis today is, like John has mentioned it before, they've tried to take gospel music and make it sound more like the world's music. You know, if you listen to some of it, there's not even any words in it that are, it doesn't make sense even. It's not, there's no encouragement in it. There's no soul in it. It's not inspired. But when you read or listen to an old hymn, you know, like I say, I've told the story before about it, about the man that wrote the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Why, it's a wonderful testimony. He lost his whole family. The ship sunk and his whole family was lost. All but one. And the latter come said, saved alone. And he got in the boat to go and meet. I think it was his wife was the only one that was saved. He got in the boat to go and meet his wife. And as he was sailing across, the captain of the ship called for him and said, we're now just about to pass the place where the ship went down. There was a French name in the boat. It was like the Ville de Har or some name like that. But he says, we are now crossing this place. And he says there was a wave of emotion come over him, and he went in and he started to write down, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Amen. He lost everything, but still, because he had something inside him, the transforming power of God was in him. And he didn't have to try and compromise about anything, but he just believed that his family, that all was well. He believed that, you know, it didn't look like a very good circumstance, but he knew that no matter what happened, all would be well. And we see here, Paul says, be not conformed. Now, it wasn't easy for these men, was it? Because when they preached Christ, what happened to them? Didn't they gather them all up and tuck into them and give them a hiding? Beat them, whipped them, told them, don't ever speak of that name again. Does that not sound familiar to today? Now people maybe haven't got beat and whipped and all that, but I mean, they'll be told, don't mention the name of Jesus. We don't want to hear it. You know, I don't really know the whole ins and outs of the case, but I've seen a couple of clips about that man who was speaking outside a hospital somewhere, and he had read John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And he was taken up to court for it and been threatened to be put in jail for speaking, for God so loved the world. But yet with all, you know, there could be a parade somewhere with perverted flags, perverting what God actually done and trying to make it out to be something different. And that would be glorified and exalted. But yet with all, when a man mentioned the name of Jesus, as it was in Bible days, these men were taken, beaten, threatened, don't ever even speak of that man again. But you know what? The midnight hour, the transforming power of God came into that place, didn't it? And it says they began to pray. You know, the wee song says that Paul and Silas began to pray, and in their pain they began to pray. Their chains fell off when the transforming power of God comes in you. He doesn't get you and tie you all up in a load of doctrines and a load of rigmaroles and a load of questions. You know, you'll meet people today who maybe claim to be Christians, and they'll have a lot of questions and no answers. Plenty of questions. There's plenty of skeptics. But you know, we don't have time for skeptics. We do have time for honest questions. But there's some questions you shouldn't even take time. Don't get tied up in some things because it's a waste of time. There's people just want to hear themselves talking. They don't actually, there's not genuine. But you know, these men, as I say, when the transforming power of God came down into that place, I think it was it Oral Roberts said? He said he shook that jail like a rat terrier shakes a rat. And all the gates swung open. And them men come walking out loosed, and the old jailer run out, and he got a light and he come running out. And what are you doing? How did you get out? Fear fell upon him because his life was at risk. And Paul said, be not afraid because we're all here. And he led that man to God. He was saved and his household was saved. All because of the transforming power of God. We go back in our Bibles here to Isaiah chapter 40. And also I love this portion of scripture as well. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 28. And we'll read right down to verses 31. And you know, I love even the way this starts, because it says, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard? Some people haven't heard yet. Some people have been spoke to, but their ear wasn't open. Like I said before, like the Bible says, doesn't it say that hearing cometh by the word, or hearing cometh by listening to the word of God? But you have to hear. You have to have the right kind of hearing. If you're not really listening, it's no good to you. If you've heard the word of God, but you didn't really listen to it, it hasn't got an effect. Because people are so conformed to this world's agendas, to this world's rigmarole, that they're not being transformed by the power of God, because they're not really hearing. Hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Isn't that wonderful? He never has a bad day. God never has a day where he feels like he's dragging his 2 feet. Did you ever get up to go to work? There we go today again. Have to go back to the grindstone, as we talk about. Or back to porridge, or back to bread and butter. Back to the same old rigmarole. But that's not like of a God, and yet with all it could be. Because every day man sins. Every day man spits in God's face. Every day man rejects what God has done. But never once does God say, that's it, I'm finished with you. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he sent a perfect sacrifice. God so loves the world that the world is surrounded by the blood of Jesus Christ. Like he showed a prophet of God when he was trying to judge that woman in that place. God showed him. He doesn't see that. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. The boy that tries to stick his chest out, like the men that went up to the temple to pray, and the boy stood up and said, I thank God that I am just such a great lad, and I do this and I do that and I do something else. You know, like there's some big companies want to be seen to be sponsoring different organizations, but the reason why they do it is because they want to be seen, and they want to help the tax bill as well, but they want to be seen. But like Jesus and that little woman that come and put in a wee mite or a penny, maybe it was a mite she put in, and they said, what on earth, like, what's that all about? Look at all she put in. But God, Jesus said to them, that was the only money she had. She gave more than the boys that looked to be given. And then we've got the situation today where we've got the name and the shame organization, some of the churches, where they have to check out at the end of the year what you give. It doesn't matter, does it really? How much time have you give in prayer? How much time have you give to pray for, say, the pastor or for the people involved with the church or whatever it may be? But people are so concerned with this world affairs. It says in verses 29, he gave us power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. You may feel faint. You may feel like you've no might, and we actually don't have anything in us that we can do to attack the enemy. We are powerless in a sense to him, but when the power of God's in us, we're not powerless then. There's something in you that's greater than this world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's something in us. You know, Samson was just an ordinary man. You know, William Branham said he believed he probably wasn't even a big man. He said he probably didn't even look like anything to look at. He probably wasn't even well built. You know, when you think of Samson in your mind, you probably think he was a big, strong man. But Brother Branham said he probably wasn't even anything like that at all. Now, where he was or where he won't, we don't know. But we know that when the power of God come on him, that he done things that a man couldn't do. He lifted things that a man couldn't physically lift. It would take a forklift to do it. It would take a machine to do it. But he done it. And he killed how many thousand men with the jawbone of an ass? Just an old bit of a bone. And then it says he got weary and downcast, but God hollowed a wee hole in the side of that bone, and there was water came in it, and he got a drink, and it renewed him. Amen. One day, when you get a drink of the living water, like Jesus said to that woman at the well, there's transforming power in that. He said to that woman, give me a drink. And she said, but sure, it wouldn't be customary for me to do that. And he says, I'll give you a drink. And she said, but sure, the water, the well's deep. You've nothing to draw with. He says, but I'll give you a drink of living water. That is the transforming power of God. When the living water comes into you, it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, the devil might say, oh, sure, you're of good age now. God will be finished with you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The devil might say to you, oh, but you're young. Well, the young might faint, but it doesn't matter. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. There's no age limit on it. You're not too young. You're not too old. The power of God can still be come upon you. You know, like Samson, I wonder what age he might have been at the time that them boys captured him and put him in jail. He probably was a good enough age for that time, but you know, he realized one day that the hair had grew back. And when God makes a promise, he doesn't change it. And he said, he realized that hair was back. And he just said in himself, Lord, just use me one more time. And he said to the young fella, he says, take me over and put my hands on the two pillars. And once again, the transforming power of God came upon him. And he pushed them pillars down and killed more in his death than he ever did in his lifetime, because of the transforming power of God. It didn't matter where he was. He wasn't in a good place, was he? People talk about, oh, I'm not in a good place. Once I get into a better position, I'll do this and I'll do that. Doesn't matter where you are. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Amen. The vilest offender. Like Jesus, when they brought that woman to him and said, she's been taken in the act of adultery, we're going to stone her to death. There's always plenty of boys in the sideline ready to put the boot in. Oh, look at that, he's made a mistake, come on. We'll all get a good boot on him. But Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand. And he got up and he said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And it says, they all departed from the youngest to the oldest. None of them. When they examined themselves, they realized Who are we to judge but us all but for the grace of God? But you know what it says here, that but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You'll not only walk, but you'll be fit to run. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Power, transforming power of God. When the transforming power of God comes in the situation, it changes the whole circumstances. Like when Saul went out to find them asses that had vanished and got away. And then when the Lord sent Samuel out and spoke to him, it says that he was changed into a new man. That's what I say. When God does the work, it's not a decoy. There's people maybe try to become good. And that's fair enough. You can try to be good. And what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with trying to be good. Just a good thing. Like I said before, when my dad went to church, he says that your mom said, would anybody like to get saved? And he says, yes, he would. And he went into the back room and your mom said, would you promise to be a good boy? Well, you're not going to say, no, I'm not. I'll try and be as bad as I can. Well, obviously, you're going to say, yes, I am. And he said, I'll do my best I can do. But he knew he wasn't saved. You can try to be a good boy and a good girl. You can do everything right in your own sight. But like Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you're changed. Because that's what it means. Born again. And Nicodemus was thinking to himself, how on earth could I be born again? How could I be back into my mother's womb and reborn again? How would that work? But then Jesus didn't explain to him. He wasn't talking about the natural birth. He was talking about the spiritual birth. And when God changes someone, he puts a new desire in them. He puts a new heart in them. He transforms them by his transforming power. You know what it says here in Romans chapter 5. On Romans chapter 5. We'll turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 down to verses 8. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Why, isn't that wonderful? Is it not wonderful? Like them old Pharisees said one day about Jesus, they said, this man receiveth sinners. He's good for nothing, not by receiving sinners. What sort of a holy man is he? They wouldn't want to be seen with them men. They wouldn't want to be seen with the madman in the Gadarene. No, nobody would pass that way. Nobody would go near him. They tied him up in chains, he broke them. They tied him up in ropes, he broke them. He was mad. He was possessed. He was full of some other power. But one day, the life, the tree of life himself, the very life giver himself, stepped off a boat. And the devil done everything in his power to not let him get there, didn't he? He brought up a storm. He done everything to get him stopped. The devil will try to stop you. Like Mark says, you know, but that person maybe being discouraged. It's very rarely you'll get much encouragement. And a lot of times the discouragement will come from someone that you think should encourage you. But you know, the devil will use them to discourage you to do his work. And they'll not even know they're doing it. But you know, you can be discouraged. But see, when you think about the victories that God has given you, you'll be encouraged. Think of your own life, your own salvation. You'll feel blessed. When you really think of what God has done, when Jesus stepped off that boat and come to the other side, and that man met him, and I'm sure they were all saying, whatever you do, don't take him up that road. Don't go up that road. There's a boy up there and he's mad. There's a cave up there, there's a tomb, and there's a madman in it. But that's where Jesus went, isn't it? He didn't say, oh, I'll bypass that boy, it wouldn't suit me. I don't be seen with him. And that's what some people that would claim to be believers, they maybe wouldn't want to be seen with you because their organization mightn't like it. because you believe that God sent a prophet in the 20th century, and that's an awful thing. That if God done anything at all, that would be serious. Because if you're taught that God can't do nothing anymore, someday you might actually believe it. But you know, when the Word of God says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He doesn't change, and He can still heal, He can still save by His power. But we know that Jesus went up that way, and that the transforming power come upon that man, and he was rid of that legion that was upon him. God changed him, and it says that he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. You see, right back at the start of that portion of scripture we read, it said, "Be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Because you see, the devil today wants to get into people's mind. We know that the whole COVID situation ruined people's mind. There's people that are still not right from what that done to them, because their mind was corrupted. Fear fell upon them. There's a fear of this world that'll do you harm, but then there's a fear of God that'll do you good. But the fear of God doesn't bring dread upon you. The fear of God will bring a reverence on you that'll make you appreciate God. That'll make you turn to God and realize that you need Him in your life. But the fear of the enemy, it'll bring fear. It'll bring a different type of fear. It brings dread upon people. You know, it says here in verses 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." In some situations, maybe a man would say, I'll put my life in for his life. You know, in like battlefield situations, we know of the story of young Billy McFadden, that he gave his life to save his men. When the grenade fell out of the box and the pin was out of the grenade, and all the men in that trench would have been killed, but young Billy McFadden jumped on the grenade and he died for his men. The Word of God says, "Yet peradventure some," it says, "for sure, scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, who commandeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we were rotten and filthy, didn't deserve a thing, Christ died for us." Amen. When we didn't deserve it, He still died for us. We did not do anything to deserve it, but He still died for us. Christ died for us. It says, "For when we were yet without strength." So what does that mean? When you get Christ, you get the strength. You hadn't got the strength before. You hadn't got the power before. But when Christ is in your life, you have now been filled with the transforming power of God. And it changes the circumstances. When you come up again the impossible, you know that God can make it possible. The impossibilities can become possible. Not impossible anymore, but possible. Doable. You know, we know also in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus, Matthew chapter 9 verses 16 and 17, he says that Jesus had said, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment." You wouldn't do it. So when God takes your life, He transforms it. It's not that old tattered garment anymore. It says, the wee hymn doesn't say, "He took my old tattered garments and gave me robes of pure white." He changes them. He changes you and He changes me. And then in Matthew chapter 10 in verses 1 it says, "He gave them power against unclean spirits." And Luke chapter 9 it says, "He gave them power and authority." And Luke chapter 10 and 19 it says, "And He gave them power to tread on serpents and over all sorts of manners of things, to heal and to save." And Mark chapter 3 in verses 15 and it says, "And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils." God gives you power. Every time the devil says to you, "Oh, you're a bit down of it, you're a bit weak," no, devil. When Jesus called his disciples together. He didn't send them out with no authority. He didn't send them out with no power, but he gave them power and authority. He gave them the ability to cast out devils. He gave them the authority to do it. Although he did say, don't praise in these things, but rather that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The most important thing is that someone be saved. If you can do anything at all to point someone to Christ, that's a great thing to do. Anything at all to try and encourage someone and point them to Christ by any means possible, that's the thing to try and do. You know, I'm going to try and come to a close because I don't want to keep you too long tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. When the transforming power comes upon somebody, like Brother Branham talked about, when that power of God comes upon someone, they can get a love in them that they wouldn't have. Something can be in somebody that they wouldn't normally have. They can look at somebody and have compassion on them, whereas before you might have looked and said, "I'm not going near that buyer, that person there, I want nothing to do with them." But you might look at them and say, "There'd be something in you, I want to see that person saved. I want to see that person's life changed." That's what the love of God can do. He didn't look at you and look at me and say, "I don't want nothing to do with that person." But it says that he gave his only begotten son for whosoever. And didn't them Pharisees rightly say, it was right what they said, "This man receiveth sinners." And thank God that he sent his son, his only begotten son, into the world to save sinners. We'll turn in our Bibles here to Ephesians 6. I'm going to close on this. Ephesians 6 on chapter 10. Or maybe read down to it. Well, you could read all the whole thing right on down. We'll read down a bit. Chapter 6 and verses 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And we know if you go on down, you'll see how to be fully equipped to handle the enemy. But you know, verses 10, I'm going to close, I'm going to read verses 10 again. It said, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And I'd like to say to you tonight, be strong in the Lord on the power of his might. Don't forget that the transforming power of God is always available. Let's stand tonight and I'll pray before I hand over to the pastor tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for your transforming power. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, in the days that lie ahead to always proclaim that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Help us, Lord, never to put anything in your place or try to put anything in your place, Lord. Help us, Lord, to always give you the reverence due your name. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's someone, Lord, with any affliction or any ailment in their body, Lord, or wherever it may be, or in their mind, Lord, I pray that transforming power of God will move in the situation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll touch circulation, that you'll touch blood pressure, Lord, that you'll touch back aches and knee aches and whatever it may be. Lord, you know the situation, and you know, Lord, what's in the thoughts and minds of your people. Lord, I pray tonight that that transforming power, your word says that your name is as ointment poured forth. Lord, we take that ointment, that name tonight, and we apply it over the situation in Jesus' name. Lord, I say in the name of Jesus that principalities and powers and demon spirits that would be active would be disarmed and stopped in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll cast out and block out the lie of the enemy in people's thoughts and minds tonight. For those that may be laid aside tonight, decoyed by the devil. Lord, I pray that you will put in them a new mind. Create in them a new spirit tonight in Jesus' name. Help them, Lord, to put their hands back on the plow and continue on in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you tonight that your blood is ever able. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that your blood speaks for us. Lord, we apply the blood. Lord, I just claim the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Over every life in this place tonight. Lord, I claim it over our families right now in Jesus' name. I claim the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, change the circumstances in Jesus' name. Lord, turn the hardened heart tonight. Let the anointing oil of God be poured into that life. That the enemy, Lord, snatch them from the enemy's hand in Jesus' name. Save our loved ones, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Deliver them, Lord, from this evil world, Lord. Deliver them out of the hand of the enemy. Lord God, break the snare of the fowler tonight in Jesus' name. And let them be set free, Lord, we pray. Lord, we just give you thanks, Lord, and give you praise, Lord. If anything's been said amiss, Lord, I pray that you'll forgive me. But let every word of yours, Lord, be in our thoughts and in our minds. And let some bit of this, Lord, tonight, one even scripture, let it sink into our thoughts. Let it go with us, Lord. Let us, Lord, put on the whole armor of God in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be able to withstand in this evil day, Lord. In Jesus' name, touch each and every one now, Lord, we pray, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us all, Lord, in the weeks and the days that lie ahead, and help us, Lord, to keep pressing on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Transformed power of God. Praise God. The Lord bless Samuel tonight and each one. Thursday night we'll be back for prayer and Bible study. We're going through the book of Acts at the minute, and pray for Sunday. We're going to have Brother Andrew Beecham from England coming to preach first the service, two services Sunday. Pray for Brother Andrew as he comes, that the Lord will really bless the meetings, and maybe some people will come in. It's hard to get people to come, but we'll go on anyhow. God bless you as Mark's going to come and lead us with a song, and the Lord bless you all.
Amen. We'll sing that one, King of My Life, I Crown Thee Now. It's 165, the redemption. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary.
Lest I forget your Gethsemane.
listen to verse 5 here. It says, "Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire, for all who know not thee. Then touch my lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary." May that be our prayer tonight. We'll sing verse 5 again on the chorus, and then we'll ask our brother Philip to close with a word of prayer this evening.
Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire.